Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
I'd like to read some of the words of the song that we're about to sing, taken from Psalm 51, David's Confession. We have it put to verse and music. God be merciful to me. On thy grace I rest my plea. Plenteous in compassion thou. Blot out my transgressions now. Wash me, make me pure within. Cleanse, O cleanse me from my sin. This may not be familiar with a lot of people. Many are not acquainted with songs put to verse and music of the Psalms. Also, we'll read the second verse. My transgressions I confess. Grief and guilt my soul oppress. I have sinned against thy grace and provoked thee to thy face. I confess thy judgment just. Speechless I thy mercy trust. Listen as it's sung. Reading today from Colossians chapter 3, and also some verses from the fourth chapter. Chapter 3, verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then the fourth chapter, the second verse, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. Let's give thanks for these words. Pray that God will give us understanding of them, and especially willingness to do them, that we may not be as those that Christ spoke of in the Sermon on the Mount, hearers but not doers, only building a house on the sand that will, under God's judgment, fall. And as Christ said, great was the fall of it. The other is, one that hears and does, builds his house on the rock, builds it on Christ, knowing our need of Christ, and then doing all through Christ, even as we read, in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. We need to ask through Christ and give thanks through Christ. Let's seek to do it. Our Father, first of all, we do come to thee, giving thanks for the blessings that we have, particularly in our nation, in our area, so many more than many others in different ways. Thou hast told us, having food and raiment, there would to be content. And Father, we have it in abundance. Sadly, we have to acknowledge that we let much go to waste when others are suffering in hunger, in homelessness, cold. We pray for them. We pray also that thou would forgive us when we have not done rightly for others, and when we have not done rightly with what thou hast given us in such abundance. We pray that thou would teach us even now to have, first of all, the right mind of humbleness and thankfulness, the mind of Christ, that we will first then ask, what is thy will? And then be willing and able through Christ to do thy will, to have a new beginning, to be made new creatures in him, first to be forgiven, and then to be led by thy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. We pray that we might have more of what we have just read, and that it might be applied to us, first of all, in our need. As David could say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. We need to say it in the beginning of our relationship with thee, and we need to say it continually, every day, as I do in my older age. Know the need of thy mercy for sins of the past, thy mercy for the sins of the present, and will be needed for the sins of the future as well, and especially thy mercy in leading us, so we will not continue in sin, so we will not be overcome by sin, but rather overcome sin by the blood of the Lamb. We pray for reviving in the church, that we might do that more and more, and may not just bring forth 30-fold in fruit, but 60, and even 100 willing to die for thy name's sake. And as many are doing that, we pray for them that are suffering, those that will die, that they might have the blessing of peace before death, and we know they will have the blessing of peace in and after death through Christ and because of him. And we pray, Father, that we may now have again a church as there was at Colossae. We fear, Father, as this letter is written to them, that we are not like them, that we are more like Paul had to write to Timothy, that in the last days there would come perilous times, or even the times as earlier in the history of Israel, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And we pray, Father, that we might rightly examine ourselves in the light of thy word, whether we have churches at all like this church at Colossae, the blessing of it in the beginning, and then the continuing, and then to seek more and more of thee, as Paul could write, if we be risen with Christ, to seek those things which are above. We pray that for the eternal things first. We pray especially again, Father, for those who are in need of the temporal things, those in sickness, older age, the hungry, the persecuted, the sorrowing, all these needs, Father, the broken homes, the children in those homes, the schools. We pray and plead that thou wilt look on them and deal with them through and because of Christ. Amen. As we look once again here, as I said, we're sadly, for the most part, not a church as there was at Colossae. In the beginning of that letter, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have to all the saints. They had what was needed. They had what Paul continued to exhort them to have, even they had it. But he said, Father, in the third chapter, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That's the same as what he's describing when he says he heard of their love. But yet he tells them again at this time to put on charity and have charity. So it is a continuing need. And we have to see that. I thought this morning of Peter, who made a wonderful confession and said that he was the Christ, the Messiah, and the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus said to him, flesh and blood have not revealed that unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And a short time later, when Christ was talking about the gospel, he was going to suffer, die, rise again, Peter said, this will not be to you. And Christ, the Lord Jesus, had to say, get thee behind me, Satan. So quickly we can be again in the flesh if left by God. I've experienced it too much in some of the things I've told you about in the recent weeks. When we're left to ourselves, we're helpless. We're hopeless. Christ said, without me, you can do nothing. If we listen and believe it, we'd continue to ask and look to him at all times. But we forget, and then we fall, and then it's too late. We're fallen. But then we can say, as the song stated, God be merciful to me, on thy grace arrest my plea. The third stanza, he said, I am evil born in sin. Thou desirest truth within. Thou alone my Savior art. Teach thy wisdom to my heart. There's more than one song here put to verse and music. Some of them are more toward the last part of the psalm. And David says, if these things happen, he says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. And that's what we need today. We need to confess. We need to be forgiven. We need to have the joy restored. And we need to pray with David, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And we need more of the Spirit. And then the church can teach transgressors God's ways. And we can believe that in these sad days, sinners will be converted to God. Oh, how we need it. And I'd like to think especially today of Paul's words in thankfulness, praying for them in the beginning of this letter. Again, the third verse of the first chapter, giving thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. He gave thanks, but he continued to pray. He knew God had done a great work there, had taken them from darkness to light, had done many things, taken them from enmity, alienated, enemies in their minds, to be reconciled with God through Christ. That had happened. They were now, as they said, if you be risen with Christ. But as we come more toward the end of this letter, we have many exhortations that we read. One of them was, above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity or love. Either word can fill what is required of that in the Greek. Charity is the same as love. Some would say it's a little bit more broad. Some would say one word is better than the other. But love or charity has wonderful things. We've read it different times from 1 Corinthians 13. Especially when we think of it, love thinketh no evil. That's what Paul is here emphasizing as well. In between the verses that we read from the 3rd chapter and the 4th chapter, Paul addresses different segments of society. First, wives, then husbands, then children, then servants, and then masters. All of us. Everyone need to be told what to do and what not to do. But it's all covered in those words that we read. Verse 15, chapter 3, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let that peace not just be by faith as a comfort, but as a rule. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, said to live at peace with all men as much as possible. We need to have God's word to rule. It does tell us, love your neighbors yourself. Love God above all. Doing that brings peace. Our world is far, far, far from peace. Our nation. I don't know how our nation compares with others. Some are worse, but some may be better. But we are far. There's a strife of words. Terrible. As I mentioned, probably last week or the week before, there's some think that they can't even speak to others. They don't understand. That may be true, but the whole truth is, as God states of not only others, but of us as well, there is none that understandeth. There is none that doeth good. Let's start there. Let's start together as wrong. Let's start together of the past and the present and say with Daniel, we and our fathers have sinned. Recently, we've had the commemoration of anniversary of the Reformation. There's people that think only of some of the good parts of the Reformation, and there were that. But there were also the sad parts, the parts that people use as an excuse. Look, all divided, many divisions. The world knows it. Those that were not the same in their religious understanding of the Bible saw it. But those that thought they were right, and then each one more right than others, did not see it. They saw it of others, but not themselves. And it's left a terrible mark that time, 500 years ago, and for today. And we have sadly followed that way, as I've mentioned before. We have churches named after different men of the Reformation, different men of other revivals and awakenings. God needs to be the one recognized, and Christ, the head of the church alone. He alone bought it. He alone paid for it. He alone is the Savior. There is none other name under heaven whereby we may be saved. To say I'm this or that or that, if we say it with pride, if we say it with exclusiveness, I'm that, it may send us to hell. It may make us think I'm so much in that. When often these different churches with different names have one issue that may be right, and of which they're proud and say others are wrong in that. But if we're only right in one issue, what about the rest? What about that in which we are very wrong? And some of these good things, if they're seen as an exaggeration and seen as leading to lack of understanding of the rest of Scripture, it's dangerous. I won't go into the details today, but it is there. I've experienced it myself. And believing that one kind of church was the best, and I was right with the best in it, and then experiencing something else from a different doctrine, different teaching, hearing a message over the radio, that led me to a very wrong conclusion. Stayed there for a time till God taught me and humbled me and showed me how terribly wrong I was. Thankfully, he did that. And we need to realize that there's four kinds of soil that Christ says The sower sows on the wayside hearers, the shallow ground hearers, the thorny ground hearers, three wrong. Three that come short of the glory of God, of bringing forth right fruit, the right fruit of repentance, the right fruit of faith, the right fruit of love, the right fruit of thankfulness, the right fruit of humbleness. It's very easy to get proud in the church, very easy, and many are. Thinking of the churches, thinking of a very conservative church that would believe it's very right, but talking to a person once that became a member, and others became members the same time as he did, and he says, the group that I was in wasn't very spiritual. Well, what a statement. They weren't very spiritual. I should go back and say, were you spiritual? Were you the only one right of the group? Or were you not spiritual either? That may be true. And there's too much truth in God's word that says again, there is none that understandeth. And it takes a mighty work of God to bring us to understanding our sin. If we have an experience like the shallow ground, we want to have an experience like these Colossians did. Over and over, Paul shows the emphasis of what they were, what they learned. In the first chapter, he said, delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Did you ever recognize in repentance that you were in the power of darkness? That God alone could translate you, take you out of it, and put you into the kingdom of his Son, and doing it because of Christ's blood? And that wasn't even enough. Further in the chapter, he states, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Did you learn in repentance that you were an enemy to God, to your neighbor, by wicked works? They don't have to be outwardly wicked. They can be pridefully wicked, behind the pulpit, in the pew. When we think of the Great Awakening, or we think of the Reformation, there were ministers that even said, after God's teaching led them to a different place, I was more in love with my own works than with Christ. So easy to have a religion of works. The Jews have it almost entirely. I hear it from them. The law is the important thing, doing the law. And then they take the name of God in vain, breaking the law, thinking they're doing it. Paul said of himself, according to the law, blameless. But at the same time, he said, that was wrong when I thought that, writing to the Philippians, and said, now, not having the righteousness which is by the law, but the righteousness of Christ. That which was paid for on the cross, shedding blood, dying. That's the payment for your and my sin. And if that isn't for your and my sin, we don't have any. We're guilty. And we'll stand guilty on the day of judgment. We'll be left in enmity, alienated, and in pride. And then Paul comes to those words, Father, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. If you be risen with him, we were dead in sin. And it's only when those things take place in conversion, in repentance toward God, in faith toward Christ, an actual experience of coming out of darkness into the light, coming from Satan to God, that we can then hear the word, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Only then can we do with Paul. And I want to close with that, and especially emphasize the need of it, prayer. Yes, prayer first, like the publican, God be merciful to me, going to his house justified. I think we could say for the first time, then having prayer like David, again, God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. David the king. David in his older age had to come back to this childlike faith, this humbleness before God. That's reviving in the church. And only when we have those things can we, with Paul, say, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving to keep that balance of being thankful and knowing our need. Both are great in every area of life. I think of it in losing my wife, how much I have to be thankful for the many good years. And now, missing part of my flesh, torn apart, needful, needing God's blessing. Here, continue in prayer, watch in the same with thanksgiving, with prayer also for us. Paul had prayed for them, as we could see in the first chapter, and now Paul says, pray for us. You at Colossae, pray for myself, the Apostle Paul, and those that are with him. He mentioned some of those already in the first chapter. He says, Paul and Timothy, our brother. He talks about one that was their minister and others that he mentions. Those that, he says, salute you from other places. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Demas was still with him at this time, later left him and went with the world. But here, Paul says, praying for us. All these different men mentioned by Paul. And they all needed God's blessing, every one of them. And every one of us needed today. And others needed desperately. We're in a great need today. And as I've often said, and I'll bring up two things again, you probably get weary in hearing it, but broken homes, they're there. It needs to be changed. We need to pray that this will change. Society won't get better as long as we have broken homes and sad children. Saw a picture the other day, man and wife, standing back to back, the child sitting on the steps crying. What kind of a life can that child have? No father to bring up the children, the fear and the nurture of the Lord. Mothers either. And won't make good servants, won't make good masters. We need to pray that we'll have a great change. Then we have the killing of the unborn. And I would remind you, today again, as I stand here this afternoon, probably 2,000 killed today. We get excited, and we should, about dozens. They keep killing children in the schools. Terrible, terrible. But is it as terrible when there are a dozen as when there are 2,000 to 3,000 in the same day? They're concerned about guns, but are we concerned about the doctor's knives cutting children apart in the mother's womb? Terrible. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up to reality, not just of one thing, but all things before God, the greatness of God to be thankful. And then say with David, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And if we come rightly, we can have that mercy and grace in Christ.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.